Welcome to the Sunday School Hour, where each lesson builds upon the foundation of Christ. Grab your Bible, and let's join our teacher, Joe Thornton, as he guides us in this week's study.
Well, as we continue our study in the book of Colossians, we're ready for Colossians chapter 3. Be looking at verses 18 and 19 today. Now remember, the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul earlier in the book, he dealt with heresy and he presented good theology and the truth to strengthen and protect the church there at Colossae. And then when we get to chapter 3, he becomes very practical in the things that he teaches us concerning our Christian lives and our living for him. You'll notice in chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, he said, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." He said in verse 2, "Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." Now, if you also look at verse 17 of chapter 3, he continues with that theme, and he says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." And once again in verse 23 that we'll be looking at later, the same theme is reinforced. "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." Today we're going to be looking at relationships that each and every one of us have, but we need to be reminded that the most important relationship we have is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of our relationship with him, if you're a believer and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, that should affect every other relationship that you can possibly have on this earth. Dr. David Jeremiah tells the story of a woman who was browsing in a Christian bookstore one day when she discovered a shelf of reduced items. Among them was a figurine of a man and a woman, their heads lovingly tilted toward one another. On the bottom was the inscription, "Happy 10th Anniversary." It appeared to be in perfect condition, yet the tag on the figurine said, "Damaged." When the woman turned the tag over, she read this explanation, "Wife is coming unglued." The first relationship we want to look at today is the relationship between the husband and the wife. So follow along as I read in Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. The Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them." Now, Paul begins in verse number 18 with instruction to the wives. He talks about being in submission. We need to consider this idea of submission. It is maligned today and ridiculed and all sorts of things, and yet we don't judge the Bible by our culture. We should judge our culture by the Bible. So let's see what the Bible's actually talking about when Paul instructs the wives to be in submission to their husbands. First of all, let's look at the concept of submission itself. Submission is evidence of a spirit-controlled life. If you look at the correlating scriptures over in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, in Ephesians chapter number 5, beginning verse number 18, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, along the same lines, dealing with this idea of submission. He said, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now look at verse 21. "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." So you see, submission is evidence that we have a spirit-controlled life, that the Holy Spirit is directing our lives and our relationships. No greater example could be given than that of the Lord Jesus Christ, who modeled submission even to the point of death in his submission to the Father. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So here's the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son of God, in total submission to the leading of his heavenly Father while he was here upon this earth. What an example for us to try to emulate. So submission is actually a Christian virtue. It's not something that's singled out just for the ladies. It's for every Christian, male and female, child and parent. All of us should model submission in our lives. So the concept of submission, secondly, the center of submission. Submission begins by submitting to the highest authority. Well, when we talk about submitting to the highest authority, we're talking about the wife submitting simply to her husband, that the highest authority that we all are to submit to is God himself. The book of James, in James chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And you compare that with Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22, where the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands." Then he says, "As unto the Lord." And we go back to Colossians chapter 3, and we look at verse 18 again, and it said, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord." So when we look at the center of submission, it begins by submitting to the highest authority. It's so much easier to submit to lesser authorities if we're submitting to the highest authority. And so our first relationship, the most important relationship that anybody can have, is with God himself. And as we submit to his authority, it's easier to submit to those that he puts over us, that we're to submit to their authority as well, whether it be in the family or is it be in society and so forth. And then there's the context of submission. This is important. Paul said, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands." He didn't say there that women are to submit to all men or anything of that nature at all. But concerning our relationship with Christ, all believers are the same. And this was elaborated in Galatians chapter 3, verses 27 and 28, where the Bible says, "For as many as you as have been baptized into Christ," or in other words, you've been placed into Christ when you got saved, when you were born again, when you trusted Jesus as your Savior, he goes on here, "have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." So it matters not who you are. If you're a Christian, we're on level ground before the cross, before Christ. But God has placed us under certain authorities in our relationships here on the earth. Then that's what Paul is dealing with in Colossians chapter 3, is how do we relate in these different relationships. Right now we're looking at the relationship of a wife and her husband. Later on we'll look at the relationship of a parent and the child. And then later on after that we'll look at a relationship in the workplace between an employee and an employer. So in marriage, God has called the husband to exercise leadership. So submission is the one ingredient, is just one, I should say, ingredient to a good marriage. Eddie Wadsworth put it this way. She said, "Peace in my marriage finally came when I quit looking for peace with my husband and started looking for peace with God." So my suggestion would be, and I believe what the Apostle Paul is emphasizing here, is we need to make sure we're in submission to God. If we're having trouble falling into submission with other authorities in our lives, let's start at the top and make sure that the Lord Jesus Christ is getting first billing. Be in submission to God. So he moves now from instruction to the wives to instruction to the husbands. We're back in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 19, where the Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." Now notice he didn't go into a spiel about how husbands need to be experts in leadership. That's not what he said. He said they need to be experts in loving their wives. Now, we need to love our wives, men, with a Christ-like heart of love. He emphasizes here in verse number 19 that we're not to be bitter or be angry against our wives. We need to be sensitive to this heart of love that emanates through us because Christ lives within us. It's so easy sometimes for some men to be angry and to be bitter towards their wives. And so this is something that Paul points out that we need to be careful is not something that's in our life. The Bible teaches the husband that he's to love his wife unconditionally. He's to love his wife unconditionally. The parallel passage is found in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 25. So if you have your place in Ephesians, look with me there in verse 25. The Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives," and then he tells us what that means and how that looks. He says, "Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." So he's talking about here that a husband is to love his wife as Christ loves his bride, which is the church. The love of Christ for his church truly is beyond understanding. When a man and a woman come together, it's two broken people who have come together to do the best that they can as one person. And the only way that can happen is when the Lord Jesus Christ is part of that relationship. And the instruction to the husbands here is not a suggestion. It's actually a command that husbands are to love their wives. So we're going beyond emotion here. We're talking about an agape love. That's the Greek word for love. It's an agape love. It's the type of love that God had for the world in John chapter 3 and verse 16, that he loved the world even when the world didn't love him back. So our love is not based upon reciprocated love. It's not based upon enticing kind of a love. It's a love that's a decision. It's a love that's committed by the husband to his wife, for better or for worse, for sickness and in health. A man is to love his wife unconditionally. When you look at Christ's love for the church, he suffered for the church. He ultimately gave all that he had for the church when he went to the cross and he died for his church. Now, was the church perfect? Is the church perfect? No, it's not. Not yet, it isn't. You mean Jesus did all of that for an imperfect church? He sure did. But it's not going to always be an imperfect church because God has a purpose and a plan for the church and for his bride. So we don't look for perfection in our mate. We choose to love our mate unconditionally, and that's the kind of love that makes it much easier for the wife to submit when she knows that her husband has placed her in a place of priority in his life. Well, not only should a man love his wife unconditionally, but then he should love his wife sacrificially. We're looking back in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 again. It said, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." God gave himself sacrificially for the church. David Jeremiah put it this way, and when he said this, it strikes so well. He said, "When you love someone, you are willing to give for them and give up for them, and yes, even give in for them, because you care about their needs more than you care about your own. Wow, what poignant words that he used to describe loving one's wife sacrificially. Then next, the Bible teaches that a man should love his wife purposefully. God had a purpose, and he has a purpose for the church. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, the Bible says that he might sanctify. That means to set it apart and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. So God's purpose for the church is to set the church apart and then to cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word of God. Paul is reminding us that when you put your wife first, sometimes it's going to be an inconvenience. Sometimes it's going to cost you time. It'll cost you money. But the idea here is that the Lord Jesus Christ put a lot of effort and time and investment into the church. And a husband should look at his wife the same way, because not only do you as a husband have a ministry that God has called you to, wherever it is that you work, or if you're in full-time ministry, or if you're just to be a good husband and a good father, whatever that ministry is that God has blessed you with, do you realize that your wife has a ministry as well? She has a ministry. Perhaps it is to help raise some children. Perhaps it's some ministry in the church or in a workplace situation. I don't know what it is, but God has a ministry for your wife. And we, as husbands, should be the number one cheerleader for our wives to achieve anything that God wants them to be. We should not try to hold our wives back to enhance our own desires. It should be the opposite. We should be doing everything that we can to be an encouragement and a help and a blessing and to enable our wives to achieve whatever it is that God wants her to achieve. And so we think about this. So we're to love our wives with a Christ-like heart of love. We're to love our wives unconditionally. We're to love our wives sacrificially. And then love our wives purposefully. And then finally today, love your wife passionately. Love your wife passionately. There's a story told of an older couple that were getting ready to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary, and they just bickered the whole time they were married. They just went back and forth and back and forth. And the children, they thought, well, we're going to do something special for their anniversary this year. So they put their heads together and they came up with a gift that they were going to present to their parents for their 50th wedding anniversary. And what it was an appointment to a psychiatrist. You can imagine, they thought, well, after 50 years, it can't hurt. Maybe it can help. So they set this appointment up for their 50th wedding anniversary gift to go see a psychiatrist. And on the way to the psychiatrist, the man and his wife, they just bickered the whole time going there. Who's going to say what? Who is going to bring this story up and this conflict up? And all of these different things that they were going to try to get the psychiatrist to side with them. They finally got to the psychiatrist's office, and they go into the room. And lo and behold, he was a young man. He had just graduated from school and got his credentials to be a psychiatrist, so he's fairly new at the job. And so he's sitting there, and he's listening to this couple go back and forth and back and forth, just bickering. Thought, well, the only thing I can think of, he's thinking to himself, is shock therapy. So he got up, and he walked over to the couch, and he swooped the lady up in his arms and he gave her a big old kiss right on the lips, a Hollywood kind of a kiss, and he held her there for just a brief time. And then he let her go and she sat back down. And he looked over at the husband and he said, "Sir, this is what your wife needs 3 times a week. And the man looked at him and said, "Well, I think I can get her here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday." Well, men, we are a little hard-headed there, but we need to be thinking about what God says about this relationship of loving our wives passionately. I invite you to look in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 28 with me. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 28. The Apostle Paul, he says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, as you look at these verses, I have it underlined in my Bible in verse number 29, two words there, that a man is to nourish his wife and he is to cherish his wife, and he's to love her as he would love his own self. The Bible teaches when a husband and a wife come together, they're already one flesh. So literally, when a man loves his wife, he is loving his own self because she is part of him, and vice versa. They are one flesh, and this is what the Bible teaches concerning the marriage relationship. We live in a day and age today where marriage is very, very much diminished in our culture and in our society today. We could go on and on with how sad our culture is today when it comes to fidelity and comes to the marriage relationship and all of these things. And if you're one of those that says, well, it's just a piece of paper, I'm here to tell you, you're wrong. The Bible uplifts marriage and makes it important, and that it ought to be esteemed and not diminished in any way. It's more than a piece of paper. That marriage license, that marriage certificate, that ceremony, all of those things are things that exalt marriage, and God would have us to do that. Why? Because it's a picture of Christ and his church. That's how important marriage is. So when we think about a husband nurturing his wife, it simply means that he meets her needs. Now, husband, she has a lot of needs. We all do. But a lot of times her needs require to be sensitive to, and I'm certainly no expert in this, but our wives need emotional support. They need spiritual support. They need financial support. They might need physical support, all sorts of needs. And we are there to meet their needs. I was reading how that at end of life, so many couples die within just a few weeks or months of each other. Why? Because that other mate is hanging on to take care of that dear wife who's going through sickness, or that husband who's struggling. And then once that obligation is no longer needed because God calls one mate home, so many times before very long, the other mate goes to heaven as well. And that's the way a Christian marriage should be. Nurture her, husbands, meet her needs, and then cherish her. Cherish her. When the Bible talks about cherish, it's talking about tender care. Tender care. This is one I constantly need to work on. Tender care is the idea of shared moments. What are those little things that you do with your wife that maybe one day when you're gone, those will be things that she will remember? Might be one example would be for those that help wash the dishes, or they open the car door, or they spend some time doing something together. Not that it's something big or expensive, but it's time that's well spent, that's a shared moment, that is a way of expressing your tenderness and your tender care towards your wife. It'll go a long ways, husband, if you'll do that. So here we have the relationship between husband and wife. Wives, be submissive unto your own husbands, and husbands, love your wives unconditionally, love them sacrificially, love them purposefully, love them passionately, and how much easier it will be for your wife to fall into submission, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the glue that keeps a marriage together.
This has been the Sunday School Hour with Joe Thornton. Join us again next Sunday at the same time on this good station.